What's up, guys? This episode tonight had us all shook up. We went down in the cartel, so you won't want to miss it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I always want to jam out, and then I'm like, oh no.
That's our own fault. Every week we're like, we're going to get a new song.
We're going to do better, guys.
And there we are.
This is the opening, though. What song do you want to open with?
It's so intense, though. I feel like it definitely is applicable for this episode.
Oh, definitely.
Like, I felt, like, really spy-esque
with
this episode. Yeah. I don't know. But what's up, guys? Thanks so much for joining us for the Quantico After Show. We got all of our lips in leather tonight. We hope you guys like that. My name is Candace Cruz.
Hey, guys. Elena here.
Hey, guys. Ashley Allen here.
Hey, guys. Your girl, Christine.
Yeah. Okay. We got it all. That was quick. 1, 2, 3. Hello. But yeah, diving right into this episode, it was, I don't know, I really felt spy-esque.
Yeah. It felt like a movie.
Yes.
In some sorts. It was very, very cinematic, I think.
Yeah.
You
didn't know?
It was great, but the ending left me a little underwhelmed.
Okay. I agree.
Yeah. The twist, I'm sorry. Like, we kind of predicted it, minute 15?
Yeah.
And I wish it would have been, spoiler alert, it was Akers that was the mole. Mm-hmm. But I kind of wish it was, who was the other female?
Which female?
The female agent.
The agent, the marshal.
Oh, the one who took over.
Thank you. Lee. I wish it would have been her, because then that would have been a little bit more unpredictable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of like, oh, wait. Oh. It just kind of felt like, I loved everything around it except for that, because I was kind of like, that's really understated.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
The problem could also be that because we're watching the show weekly, our detective skills are like elevating. So immediately he's telling the location of where he's about to go and where he's about to move. Mm-hmm. And the only common denominator was Akers.
No.
Like, immediately, I just pointed.
Not only that, but he was, like, so bitter throughout the entire episode. So it's like, okay, who else is it going to be? It's going to be him.
Yeah.
So.
But here's my thing. If you're going to be bitter and you're going to be going on and on and on about, like, well, it was my team that did this. Why isn't it working? I'm like, shouldn't you be playing it a little bit more, like, slick? Shouldn't you be, like not. You're basically drawing attention to the fact that you're failing at all of your missions.
Yeah.
And that might be, like, kind of suspect, mm-hmm. but.
But that's what I think that was him trying to feed into that.
Like,
fighting so hard. No, my team need to do this. Every team is going to fail. It's like, okay, he really wants to take this guy down. When in reality, he just wants to run points so he can find a way to manipulate the situation.
True.
Yeah.
So, but he, for us, because we're super spy detectives.
We are.
it was just ridiculous. He was doing too much, and it was very easy to call him out on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he tried to be all slick. Sorry, I'm jumping early, but he tried to be all slick on top of the
rooftop.
Dude, sit down.
He just walking all sly, and he's getting his gun out, and he's like, just like another day at work. Like, here I am, gonna sniper this guy. And then at the end, what is it that he said? They were gonna kill my family or something like that.
I didn't believe it.
I mean, he killed his own sister. Let's be real here.
True.
Not Akers. What was his name? What is our cartel guy's
Say
name?
Say it in your accent, Christine.
Culebra.
Culebra.
First thing I think was Altero, right?
Arturo.
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 Culebra.
Solis.
Oh. I got the red lip tonight,
that
guys.
That was good.
But I mean, what cartel?
Yes. Love it. Stop. Wait, how do you clap in time? Isn't there? We like that.
I like that.
It's the jazz hands.
Jazz hands. I love that. Thank you. In the booth. I love all the clapping, the jazz hands. It's great. Jocelyn, though, speaking of the sign, she was such a. I'm the one that says this word every week, so she's a badass.
Yeah.
She was a badass with that gun.
I loved it.
Oh, that scene. Oh. He was like, I don't speak sign language, mommy. She said,
oh, you understand this?
You know what that means.
I gotta say, that scene, though, I wrote it down right away. I said, Deep is doing an interrogation. In what world? That was so weird.
It was weird, but he was believable.
He was. I was so shocked.
For that.
I wrote it down. I was like,
okay, well, hello.
But I love that she called him out early on. She's like, how many times are you going to use getting shot at as an excuse? It's going to have an expiration date eventually.
Because we knew it was going to come. We knew that.
He has a good sense of humor, though. He said, I need to print out a certificate.
I got shot at. I can, okay, that's kind of off topic, but I cannot imagine getting shot at. I feel like that's like the most like...
I can. I have.
I've been in places that have been shot at.
It's not funny, but yeah.
I'm sorry to laugh. It's just funny because you said that and I kind of looked like, can't relate.
I know.
That's so awful. Wow. Yeah,
people are crazy.
I can't breathe.
That's terrible. Yeah, multiple times.
I wasn't the target. It was just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
That wasn't.
Am I the only one on this panel that hasn't had this experience?
I mean, I'm from Brooklyn, full disclosure. So it's like a rite of passage to be somewhere that could potentially get shot up.
Here's the thing. In Miami, there was this time, and it probably still is, but I'm not in the world, obviously. There was this time in high school where every party would get shot at, like shot up. Every Sweet 16, if you were going, like, you know how they had like the teen clubs, like to a certain time. The parking lot will get shot up, like, no matter where you were. And there were times where, like, we had to duck and run. And
I would just go out.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I took it down a rabbit hole here.
It's not fun.
Well, I'll print you all certificates.
Replace it with my PhD, like, beat.
Just frame it. I was trying to bring it lighthearted, but okay. But either way.
We're like, that can happen.
No. It worked. Yeah. Well, I mean, the team is finally starting to get a little bit more intricate, would we say? The right word?
Why do you think intricate?
Intricate in the sense of, like, they're starting to work more as a team because it's been a couple of things. However, when I mean intricate, it's, like, dual-termed for me because then you've got the whole triangle that's finally, like, surfacing in the way that we've kind of been predicting it to surface.
Right.
It's really starting to come to the forefront and, like, the tension can be cut with the knife. Yes. Understandably.
Yeah. I agree.
So, I mean, Shelby, just to get on her, of course we have to talk about her.
Of course.
She's been bothering me this whole season so far, but this episode in particular, like, the hate that you've been having for her, I had for her
this episode.
What right do you have to be asking anyone questions? What right do you have to be mad at anyone? Like, I just, I'm already kind of sick of this little thing.
In all honesty, I'm going to jump on that bandwagon. I think Shelby is honestly the bad guy. If we're finding a bad guy in the three of them, I think that she's the one. Because here's my thing. I'm still standing by the fact that Ryan ended up marrying her because she is the closest thing to Alex that he can ever get. Alex did nothing wrong. She left him because she thought that it was the best thing for him. She wasn't involved in this marriage at all. Shelby knowingly knows all of this and still walked down the aisle and did all of this. And then still has the nerve to be like, why can't we just be best friends again?
And then it's like she's questioning Alex this episode. And she tried to talk to you about this whole triangle situation in the past. And now all of a sudden you want to bring it up? Like, I'm just very irritated with
her. Passive aggressive.
Well, it's like what you said, Candace, though. Like, that tension is so thick you could cut it with a knife. So I think that's why she's like, maybe I need to say something now. But like you said, like, you already walked down the aisle. This whole thing already happened. Like, I feel like she had to know there was going to be awkwardness. And, like, I don't know. I just don't see the point to, like, force a friendship with Alex. Like,
I don't either.
Just let things play out naturally. And, like, if you guys get close again, I can understand that. But as someone being in her position after taking her ex, like, I would kind of just fall back a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what's sad, though? What's sad about the situation is that the writers have Shelby playing this passive role. They have her being this whiny little new wife, best friend, whatever it is. And that's making us, the viewers, maybe not all the viewers, but at least us, be like, okay, Shelby, cut it out. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because we are used to her being sarcastic and being slick and being sharp, but she hasn't given us any of that this season. Yeah. So the only thing she's giving us is the constant whine and cry about,
like,
if something...
Poor me.
And right.
Standing behind the corner and watching and listening to conversations, like, come on,
is it stemming from her insecurity about the relationship? Because that's what it feels like to me. Like, she just knows, A, that she's the backup, and that their connection could be shattered in an instant if someone made the wrong choice, which Ryan kind of did. It didn't go all the way, but, like, I think at any moment, like, Ryan would happily choose her or save her life over Shelby. And
so, do you guys
think... I think she knows that.
Do you guys think that Alex did the right thing by not telling her?
No.
No. No.
Why?
Because she's being Shelby in this situation.
Okay.
The same way that Shelby got with Ryan, it's almost like Alex not telling. Like, y'all have a friendship. Y'all have a camaraderie between each other. The least you can do is keep it real with me. Mm-hmm. Like, the least you can do.
Yeah.
Whether it's going to hurt me or not, because I'm almost going to respect you more for being honest. And that way, I don't have to constantly look over my shoulder thinking you're hiding something from me.
Yeah,
exactly.
And on top of that, too, like, I feel like if I was in Alex's situation, I would try and give Ryan the benefit of the doubt and give him enough time to make things right with his wife. If I was in, I mean, I'm still on all of my sides. I still think Shelby and all of this stuff. But if I was that person in that position, I'd be like, listen, this is your wife. You made that commitment. You put the ring on it. It's your choice to tell her what you did. Do not bring me into this.
And she did that.
She did. She told him that. Yeah. So I think that by Alex not saying anything, it's kind of giving Ryan that chance to man up.
Okay.
Right. And, and if he does it, then that's the time to tell him and be like, listen, I didn't want to tell you. That was Ryan's job. He didn't do it. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Or is somebody else going to spill the beans before Alex and Ryan?
And that's the last thing they want to have happen, have it come from someone else like Harry who witnessed that moment. It just seems like, in general, a conversation needs to be had.
Definitely need a
conversation. Speaking of conversations, I want to take some time to talk to you guys about our lovely Founders podcast. You guys know it. We spoke about this last week, Conversations with Maria Menounos. It's a place, not a place rather, but a podcast and environment where you can learn, have fun, and grow just from all the things that are spoken about on this podcast. It's hosted by our founder, and it drops every Friday on iTunes. So not today, but tomorrow. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. From health and wellness to career and relationships, finances, and more, let Maria be the big sister you've always wanted to have. So just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free, and be sure to rate and comment and let Maria know that the Quantico Squad, pardon me,
that Lips and Leather.
Hey, girl. You guys know our Lips and Leather that you love. Tell her that we sent you guys, and be sure to check it out every Friday on iTunes.
Yes.
Conversations with Maria Menounos.
It'll be like, you know, conversations with your big sister, conversations with your best friends, conversations with us.
Ow.
Yes.
It felt timely. I had to.
Oh, my God. I love you so much for doing that.
You know what? Harry also brought a comedic breath to the episode that I love, that we need. He makes me laugh. Like,
he's one of my favorites.
He makes me. Throughout this whole episode, like, he's just so... I think we speak the same language of sarcasm, and so it works, and I'm just like, ooh.
I'm grateful for him this season. Like, I think towards the end of last season, I was kind of like, I'm like neither here nor there when he was being him. It was kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, we need you.
Especially with the whole, like, the gay dating site whole section with the love.
We talk about it with... Oh my gosh, I just realized
Lips and Leather.
Yes. Oh my God, they should have put a lip on him. That would have been fantastic.
Nice. Oh my God. But I loved that it was Ryan that had to do it.
He was the
most like masculine and very like
that's his punishment.
But they didn't make a profile for Charlie. Like, I mean, Charlie.
Harry?
Like,
no, he had one.
Oh, he did. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But he didn't the guy didn't respond to him.
No, he wanted some Ryan. That's what happened. Ow. He wanted that.
Sorry. That's it. That's two for the show. No more. Cardi B rubbed off on me and I can't help it.
But I did love Ryan's outfit.
It was the
perfect outfit.
You know what we were living for? We all lived once Ryan started being in character.
Oh, yeah.
We were so here for it.
I gotta do the
when
jacket.
When he flipped the jacket over his shoulder and he was like, you wanna get out of here so I can show you how mad I am? We were like, ooh.
Do it. Flip it. Ow.
Let's go.
Look, now I'm owing. Ow.
He started flirting. He started flirting with the guy. It was just so funny because you saw how uncomfortable he was.
Yeah.
Man.
That guy really wanted it, though, because he just said
He really did.
And then he came back and was like, can I buy you a drink? Bruh.
Get out of here.
I do the same thing. Ryan's hot.
I mean, right? Yes. But I thought it was really an interesting dynamic, too, to even bring someone into the cartel
that
is gay. Because number one, it is such a taboo within that culture and within the cartel. Like, you've got a double whammy right there.
Yeah.
And the fact that he is openly going out to these places when not that many people...
Not
like,
openly, though.
Right, but enough that he's in public and he looks like himself.
Yeah.
That he knows he's in the cartel, that people are watching him at all moments, that, like, people may not be going in with him, but I'm sure people know about it. They just don't say anything.
And they knew, because as soon as he walked up to Ryan and
Ryan's
friend, he didn't say anything. He just looked, and the dude was out. And I'm like, okay.
I mean, I understand being aggressive and playing hard to get, but geez, I would be scared for my life.
He doesn't look like a very nice gentleman.
No, but
he wasn't even trying to wait till they got out the club.
Right. No, he's like, let's go.
Right now. Yo, he went in for that kiss. Ryan didn't know what to do. He said, whoa, wait.
I live two blocks away.
But Ryan blew his cover way too quick. Like, come on. Yeah. What is a little kiss going to have? Like,
exactly.
It's not going to hurt.
I was waiting for it. I'm like,
I mean, come on.
Let him nibble on the neck a little bit.
Didn't
You'll
they
be
have
okay?
that old test last season that they were supposed to, like, if you have, like, a target, you kind of have to end up, like, seducing them?
Yeah.
It goes for both ways. Come on, Ryan.
Come on, Ryan.
Come on, Ryan.
Do you think they brought...
Blam, chicka, blam, blam.
No, literally, that's what was happening in the alley. I honestly want a replay of our facial expressions because I froze. It was just like...
It's going to be a gif later, I promise you.
Definitely.
Okay. Do you guys think that they purposely put Ryan in that situation where he blew his cover? Because Ryan has gone undercover so many times, and we know that he can keep his cover, even if that is seducing another counterpart that's the same as you. So do you think that they added him blowing his cover so quickly to show almost, I guess, I don't want to say homophobia, because it wasn't homophobic. It was just like, I don't know.
He didn't want to commit that much.
Right.
Yeah.
It's funny that you're making a point, because Ryan seems to be at the center of all of these seemingly like rookie FBI mistakes.
Yes.
We've known him to be so sharp, so on point the last two seasons, but this season so far, we've seen him like refuse help from someone who's deaf, or question this, or, you know, just be very like not on his mark. Like,
closed-minded.
Very closed-minded, not open to doing whatever it takes for whatever mission they're on to succeed, which is, we know Ryan as a soldier who's always down for whatever. So it's very interesting.
I think a lot of that goes to Shelby and Alex's situation. Like, his guard is down and all his mind is going on, like, number one, am I going to get caught? Number two, do I still love Alex? Number three, like, do I actually love Shelby? Like, this whole situation, like, he's completely, like, clouding everything.
Absolutely. Can we talk about the lie he told in the beginning of the episode when he was just like, Alex, it was a mistake. It won't happen again.
Come on.
Come on.
Really, Ryan?
If it was, he would have made things right and already said something about it.
Exactly. Ooh.
I mean.
That's your mic drop right there.
Fan drop. Fan drop.
He's fantastic. And I'm almost honestly scared of the situation because, as Harry mentioned in the episode, the units fall apart when things are being hidden, when it's secrecy going on, and et cetera, et cetera. Who also mentioned that was my favorite character for this episode, the genius who makes a gun out of a clock.
Oh, like, I loved him.
I loved the way that he completely saw Alex all the way through and really kind of related to her on a different level. And you really got to see him as an agent again.
Yeah.
Because we had... someone, who was it that was basically negating him?
At what part of the episode?
Oh, Owen was basically saying he's lost it. He's not the same person anymore. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so whenever you actually had this conversation with Alex, you realize, like, the entire time that this is all calculated, every bit of it. And to see Alex put those pieces together was really, really cool at the end.
I enjoyed his character and, the knowledge and the wisdom that he brought. He was funny.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was relatable. And then, like we just said, I think he's really been the only person throughout the entire Quantico past seasons and this season who has really broken down and really, like, given us another way to look into Alex and her mind. I don't even think she can communicate herself. Mm-hmm. So it was really nice. I liked him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The allergic reaction, though.
I know. First of all, that was like a lot for me to take in because I'm deathly allergic to peanuts and I carry an EpiPen. So I was just like, bro, no. It was weird.
It happened so fast.
It did.
Does it happen that fast? Like, if you have something like that, does it, like, automatically, like, trigger?
I think so.
For me, it does. And you're supposed to go to the hospital after you inject yourself, like, within the hour, so that you can be monitored for at least 2 hours before you get discharged, yada, yada. But I guess not in TV world.
No, he's fine. He's good.
He's like, I'll call the doctor.
One thing I noticed about their conversation is the fact that, like, this whole Alex, Italy, her past thing, like, it's just not going away. Mm. Not that I expected it to just disappear, because that's where she was this whole time. But I'm wondering if it is strategic that everyone keeps bringing it up, and it seems to be new characters that she meets who has nothing to do with that, mm-hmm. but can all of a sudden, like, see so deeply into what she's struggling with. I'm like, is this something that where it's like the writers are like, pay attention to this because we're building something else up for you to look at later? Or, like, what?
Right.
You know? Yeah. So are they going to come back into play? Is it going to be used against her as leverage? I mean, people found them there. They can find them again. Mm-hmm. So I'm just, I don't know. It's always just in the back of my mind how that's going to play out.
Yeah.
I loved when Charlie called out the fact of her taking a clock. It was like, you didn't take the clock because you missed them. You took it so that they would know that you were here. Mm. I felt that for some reason. I mean, I've never been in that situation, but I felt the need to want them to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That I was here, or that I'm thinking about you, or that I miss you, or there's a piece of you with me somewhere. Like, dealing with that heartbreak aspect of it is just also very relatable for the people. Mm-hmm. And especially, well, not especially, but since we were talking about Charlie, I also loved how calm he was throughout everything. I mean, it makes sense seeing how everything worked together and he was being this magician. But prior to, he was just so chill. Like, up, ready, up, got this. Like,
almost too chill. I thought they were walking into a trap at one point.
Oh, yeah. And the
when they were Hellgate. At Hellgate, and he's like, oh, there's a trap door. Like, just go this way. We'll be fine. Go ahead. I'm like,
he had all of this planned out.
Yeah. I'm like this is too good.
He suggested that house for a reason.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, we obviously know from, like, the USB drive that he put into the clock, like, he knew Akers was following him the entire time. Mm-hmm. So he knew the suggestion automatically to come after him, that was like, the moment someone shows up at your door, that the cover's blown and it's go time.
Yeah.
I wonder how long he had that EpiPen gun made.
Well, he made it during dinner.
Did he make it during
dinner? Yeah, because her clock was still in place.
Right.
And we saw him winding it up, and then she went back to her clock, and nothing was there.
The back part wasn't... Oh. Mm-hmm. I missed that part. I just saw the USB drive come out.
So nothing, all of the metal pieces that belong there... Mm-hmm. First of all, how are you going to tell her to wind it up every 2 days? And then she got nothing to wind, like, she got nothing to clean. Like, well, you trifling.
He wanted her to find it.
Yeah, but you trifling.
You just mad her clock don't work anymore.
He should have said, go wind it now.
Yeah. Right.
And then be like, go.
Just go.
Just go now.
Yeah.
He 2 days.
He gonna act like he fixing it. She probably was so excited, like, the clock's being fixed. And all of a sudden, you just, like, made it worse.
Yeah.
Things. Oh my God. And the fact that he ended up in jail, I kind of wish that he would have gotten off, though.
He shot someone in a court of law.
I know, but hard. Still, like, come on. The poor guy's been through enough. He watched his girlfriend get a tire put over her head and burned.
That's some savage stuff, first of all. That kind of disturbed me a little bit.
And that was his sister. Like, how cruel and twisted of a human being can you be to do that world. To your sister?
You know, it's hard out here for a pimp.
Hey.
When you're trying to get that money, hold on.
Such a random, like,
that song.
But listen, it's the cartel world, right?
Right.
And
it's no game.
And Terrence Howard.
It's gonna be that intense. What I do appreciate is that they didn't submerge us into that world immediately after bringing us out of the neo-Nazis.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they gave us a little bit of it without. Making us go undercover too, because that would have been a little draining to watch. But I can say my underwhelmingness from the end of the episode also came because it was another storyline that came and gone.
Yeah. I'm so glad you said that, because now it's becoming too, like, just too quick. And the thing with doing these, like, just episodic, you know, wrapping it up in one, is if you're going to do that, I really need, like, a strong message to come through. Mm-hmm. I need to feel really compelled by this mini storyline you're giving us. You know, we talked about it going into this about them attacking real life problems and discussing those things, but I don't feel like we're getting that on a level that's enough for me to just digest this one episode and then move on to the next.
Right.
Because now I just don't care as much.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's as much depth to the show as it has had previously. And I'm not dissing it. I still love the show. I'm just saying that, like, I didn't realize how much I craved the longevity of the previous seasons, where they were really just kind of delving into one topic. I know last season they kind of split it up in the middle and did the mid-season, and it kind of flip-flopped a little bit.
Yeah.
But in the end, you had one long endgame. It was like a funnel. And so you got so invested in these people that you almost felt like you knew them and that you were in the world. And I think that that's what set it apart from so many other shows, is that you really had that, like, long endgame. And I don't know what that long endgame is in this yet, other than the fact that we got a love triangle. And to be honest, like, I love it. It's twisted and it's, like, a little, like, different, but it makes it kind of, I don't want to say generic, but kind of generic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, we're talking about them again. We're
going to keep talk about, like, kind of like last episode, that we had a little bit more to go off of, that we had those stimulating conversations.
Yeah.
Versus this one, like, we talk about the cartel and, like, a ton of shows.
Well, I mean, so they are still doing a really great job of mixing it up.
Yes.
And bringing a lot of versatility, because when it comes down to it, there are moles in our system. There are moles who affect the witness protection program to where there are some people who don't want to go into witness protection because the police can't save me any more than I can save myself, because that's how much power drug dealers have and cartel people have. Like, I don't know if you guys have been watching the news, but there were two bodies found of U.S. Americans dipped in acid from some drug cartel in Mexico. I'm not joking. Like, it was, like, maybe a week or two ago. Like, seriously.
Dang.
So this is happening in our world, obviously, what you expose yourself to, what you're reading about. So the fact that the show is incorporating it, it's like, okay, this is also happening on U.S. soil, guys. Like, this is also happening in your backyard. And it brings up that conversation, and it's really up to us whether we want to have it or not. Granted, we're not criminals who have to go into witness protection. God forbid we ever have to, but it's something to think about. Like, will I be scared? Do I have to change my identity? Do I have to go on a run? You know what I mean?
And also, looking into next episode, they're dealing with an assassination attempt, is what I got from the preview. Yeah. And also, it looked like it was a Middle Eastern, like, dignitary of some sort that was coming in.
Alex looked hot in that whatever gray dress that was.
That too.
Yes.
But it's interesting with the climate of what all's been going on in the news, like, as of yesterday and today, if you guys are staying up to date. If you're not, I'm not informed enough to really bring it up right now.
Yeah.
But I would definitely go and get yourself informed, because it is something that is very pressing for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested to see, like, it's so crazy how art imitates life, because you know that they shot this, like, months ago.
Yeah.
And that a lot of shows, sometimes the timing is just, like, uncanny, that's when it ends up coming to play. So I'm interested to see what next week's conversation will be.
All I know is next week, I hope we're going to be talking about Alex and Mr. McQuigg, because I'm tired of talking about Alex and Ryan.
Yes.
I want this new love situation to pop off and let's go.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that we didn't get any of that this episode. I thought it was coming after
they dropped little crumbs.
It is, but I just expected, maybe that's me being thinking the show's too predictable. I was like, oh, next episode straight out the gate, we're gonna get the love story starting. But you're right, it's just they're leaving us some little breadcrumbs, so when it does pop off, hopefully it'll be hot and heavy. Give us something to gawk over.
Don't have our live chat up, but if you guys are watching at home, hopefully next week we'll start engaging with the live chat so that we can see your topics and your takeaways.
Yeah.
But at least for us at the panel, do you guys have, like, any, do you feel like it left you with any kind of cliffhanger? Like, is this season giving us any kind of, like, heart-wrenching, oh my gosh, this is going to be, is that happening for you?
During the show, yes, not like because they're closing it off so quickly.
Yeah.
And then they're just giving me a preview of next episode. And the only main consistent storyline is the, like, love-ish elements of it. I don't have that yet. Yeah. But we still have a few episodes.
Mm-hmm. Something I think that's missing, now that I think about it, with Alex being the central female character, is like, with season one, it kind of started with her path to understand, like, why her father, you know, like, the whole story behind her father, and that was directly tied to her figuring out her own identity and sense of self and going into this next stage of her life. And then also, you know, the her being at the center of the whole scandal that happened. Like, there were things that were changing and growing with her. Mm-hmm. This season, I don't know, like, what Alex is supposed to realize.
Maybe that's where the Italy thing comes in.
I'm wondering, like, maybe she's, at the end of this, she's supposed to realize, like, it's the people in your life that you care about that make life worth living or something of that nature. Because right now, I don't see anything that's making me, like, want to see her story arc go all the way. And she's the main character, you know? Because, like, I think about shows like Scandal. Sorry, I was on that panel, so I'm going to reference it.
Yeah, I love that show. It's good.
But, like, you know, Olivia, like, seeing her rise to power and then fall from it, or her relationship arc with Fitz and her coming in, like, realizing, like, she is, you know, bad all by herself, or, you know, things like that where, like, I get it and I connect to it and I relate to it and I want to see it come full circle. I'm not seeing that with Alex this season yet.
And I think I agree with it, but I'm hoping what the intention of it is to show, like, the subtleties of Alex. Because the last two seasons have been so, like, she's framed or she's put under these intense situations where she has to rise up regardless. Okay. And now maybe this season is built, this is just my idea around it, is that it's built to see the depth of Alex versus just, like, this, like, I got a gun, I got a, let's go, let's do this. Maybe it's more to, like, see the person that's within.
I think maybe that, I think they're also going to set us up with that depth, with depth, because she keeps seeing that her, like, what's his name in Italy and his daughter? She keeps
saying Andrea and Isabella.
She keeps saying that they're safe. They're safe without me. They're safe now. So, and then she's, and everyone keeps bringing it up. So I truly believe, and maybe this is my prediction, but I truly believe that that is going to show, that it's going to, her vulnerability is going to serve as a weakness. And we've seen her be so strong. And now they're giving us this other side, because even the strongest fall sometimes. Yeah. And maybe she didn't even know she was coming back, like, whatever the case may be. But I'm pretty sure they're going to use that and tie, like, that in some way.
Yeah. I like that.
Super interesting.
Maybe. Well, I'm going to get ahead of myself. I'll hold it.
Predict?
What you
holding? Well, we might as well go into predictions now, right?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
I don't know why I feel the necessity.
Oh, my God. Your voice just changed completely.
Didn't it?
What are you predicting?
This is like a down the road prediction. I was just pretty much bouncing off of what you just said, that, you know, since they keep saying, oh, they're safe, I'm sure at some point, we don't know who it is, but I'm sure someone's going to use them as some type of leverage in some situation. And
Alex.
Maybe that'll lead her back to Italy to them.
Hmm.
For what? I don't know why. I don't know, but...
Going off of that, maybe something like going back to the previous seasons where she is the person of interest for all of this craziness, maybe that's what they're going to use to bring her back into that, like, fight or flight scenario.
Interesting.
Maybe. Maybe we'll get our long story plot line that we didn't notice, and then we're like, oh, wait, it's been in every single episode and we didn't realize
right.
it.
That would make me so happy, though.
It would make me very happy. Yeah. What if McQuigg or any of the other new people are the one? Oh, Jocelyn.
Ooh.
Oh.
I don't got time for them to be switching up.
Right? The new characters?
That would not make me happy.
Or Harry.
He's already been the mole, been switched up, switched out.
Yeah, Shelby?
That's true.
We saw.
I hope for that.
But we saw that she's going to go dark. We saw that she's gonna get a little cuckoo. Did y'all not see that in the preview when she's like, she's gonna switch up and trot up. She's gonna something. Watch. Okay, that's my other.
All right,
okay,
there you go.
Okay, prediction. Dang. My prediction.
You have one.
I feel like we kind of all talked about it, because I said from before about her family being kind of used against her. I don't know. Like, these new characters have been pretty insignificant so far. So maybe my prediction is that maybe the redhead is going to pop off. Something's going to happen. I don't know. Maybe I predict that one of the new characters will spice things up.
Well, didn't they say in the preview, too, it's going to be a deathly situation or something like that?
Someone's going to die?
They used something in the preview that was alluding to, like,
can't
life
be
or death. Well, it can't be Alex. We know Alex is living, guys. Sorry.
Ryan just got shot. Can't be him either. Deep.
Oh, that stab was pretty intense.
Gosh, that was... Oh.
Yeah.
But smart on him, though, going backwards back into the episode real quick, though, that the cartel guy automatically caught it within two tries.
Yeah.
Not once. First time, it's like, oh, okay, he's playing a game. Second time, who are you?
You're a pig.
He automatically knew.
Because you live in that world. Like, everybody's a suspect.
Yeah, that's true.
And then... I came here to hook up with you. And you don't want to kiss me in the alley like foreplay or nothing?
Right.
And it probably gave away in the eyes. Like, he was like,
it was like,
yeah, it was the jackup. He was like, wait. And I was like, where'd you get this strength from, this form?
Right.
In those leather overalls.
I'm surprised he didn't rip him. You know what also, very quickly, what also was a surprise to me? I didn't think that Charlie was the boyfriend to the sister. Like, that was a twist. When we saw that from the USB, I was like, that was good, guys.
Yeah.
I enjoyed him a lot. He had the perfect balance of playing coy and, like, being in the situation. Like, he was good.
Maybe they'll get him out. They'll get in a situation, we can help him later.
I would like
and
that.
They'll have to let him out. Yeah. Or Alex will keep the relationship up and go, like, hang out with him.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe
wasn't Owen initially somebody who had, like, wasn't in the game as much?
And then they kind of brought him in.
And then, you know, maybe
he was in jail, too.
Alex sent him to jail.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but, like, you know, he wasn't, like, active, and then all of a sudden he was brought back on the team.
Yep,
and
right.
Now he's an elite leader, especially because Owen kept talking about how, like, Charlie's washed up. Yep. Maybe he ain't.
I think he proved that he isn't by playing them.
Exactly. And the EpiPen, I'm sorry, that was cool.
Yeah.
Even though it killed somebody, he was just like, 1, 2, bye.
He thought about it. I wish he almost didn't shoot the trigger, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. What can you do?
He looked him in the eyes.
Let me also say, I feel like they're going to bring some of the Quantico students into it. Because Deep keeps mentioning, you guys pulled me from my education. Educate me. Like, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that we're going to go back to the yard, the farm. Sometime soon.
They can send me back.
They need to bring some of the other old characters back because I miss them.
You know who kind of reminded me of... What was the other... director's name, the black lady from the last two seasons, who ended up kind of being part of the
Miranda.
The lady who was between Akers and Owen tonight kind of gave me Miranda vibes a little bit.
Okay.
She was calling the shots. I was like, oh, okay, I see what they're doing here. I wonder if she's gonna have another role.
I'm happy Miranda gone.
Oh, yeah, she's like, I'm done.
Well, they did the most with her character.
The only other last bit that we can really chat about is Priyanka's look at the Met Ball.
Oh, yeah.
That's our little news.
The cover. First of all, everyone had a headpiece.
Mm. Yeah.
Like they had some kind of head cover-up going on. I love that she showed her face. Of course, she also had on a bowed lip.
Yes, which I loved.
Beautiful lips.
Looked super cute. Mm. She had on a nice little highlight. Mm. Highlight right there.
And the red was so complimentary on her.
Yeah, that was like gorgeous, like Bordeaux color.
Yes.
I work in a dress shop, guys. I got my colors down. But I just loved that it was still, like, paying homage to the theme that was going on. But it wasn't over the top. It wasn't costumey.
Yeah.
It wasn't too much. It was just very, like, elegant.
Very regal.
And I feel like that's her.
Yeah.
I feel like it's very Priyanka. She just has this regal elegance of, like, here I am.
Yeah.
And Alex. I think she brings a lot of that to Alex as well.
Sure. As we go through and change our lip colors from week to week, we want you guys to tell us what color you think we rock the best. Yeah, so we all have on different colors this week. What is it?
Morphe, Mina.
I have on Bury Me by Esco.
I think I said that right.
I have Retro Matte by MAC.
Ooh. And I have Veiled. It's by a company called Absolute.
Oh, see, we got all three different companies right there.
Let us know if you prefer last week's look, if you like this week's look, or if you like us to change it up.
Mm. Or you guys can tweet us some of your favorite colors that you guys have. Give us some suggestions. Yes. You know, play along.
And we always have our leather jackets on.
I don't know about you guys, but we're loving this theme that we've been playing around with.
That wasn't me. I thought that was one of y'all. I was like, that was really good. I thought
it was you. Was that you?
No.
Oh. Oh, that was you.
Was that you?
No, that time it was me. Oh, yes.
They're playing. Do you see the lips? Look at the lips. They're playing with us. That's so funny.
But yes,
I was going to say, we're having so much fun with this that we really want to like take this to the next level.
Yeah. Yes.
So, you know, in terms of like things you want to see from us, lips and leathers inspired, you know, hit us up on Twitter. Let us know what you guys think. Yeah. You might be seeing some content from us soon. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Well, that being said, we're going to have to sign off as much as we love talking about Quantico and talking about lipstick and everything else involved. So we're going to tell you guys where you can find us and definitely tweet us suggestions, anything like that. Like, subscribe, comment on this video, and we hope to see you next week. Again, my name is Candace Cruz. You can find me on all my social media at Candace R. Cruz.
Elena signing off. You can follow me on all social platforms at @Hey_It'sLay.
Guys, thank you for joining us for another episode of Quantico. I'm Ashley Allen. You can find me on all social media at Ashley Reed Allen.
And I'm your girl, Christine Alexis. You can find me all over social media at Christine Bean. We'll see you next week, same place, same time.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.